I want you to take your Bibles and turn with us to 1 Samuel. By now you ought to be able to locate that in the Word of God. 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament. And turn to chapter number 17, 1 Samuel 17. We have preached several messages out of this particular chapter in the Word of God as we have been involved in a study on the life of David. And the good news is tonight we're going to finish up in chapter number 17. And I know that probably encourages some folks. You're looking forward to going on. And however, that does not mean we're going to finish the study on the life of David. Amen. It's been good to be in the Lord's house.
Yes.
The devil has done everything within his power to try and prevent me from being here. But I'm glad that he was not able to do so. We have been sitting over here enjoying the music, and I needed to hear the encouragement from the different songs that the Lord had laid upon hearts of different singers, and appreciate the willingness of those that were willing to be used tonight here in the service. I think about 99% of God's people are discouraged in the Lord's work and in the faith, and need to hear the encouraging message that if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth it all. And that helped me as the song service began. And then my soul shouting time in heaven. That'd make a man with a headache who's hanging out in the shadows halfway well. I wanted to get up and dance, even though I knew that that was not the thing to do. And what a blessing it was to see the duet, Sister Mary Lou and Sissy, sing actually the theme song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow," a great old invitation hymn. And then Warren just to get up here, and he called it rambling, but really it was a blessing. And he revealed some things to us tonight. I don't know if he realizes that or not, but I believe very close to where the Lord would have him to be, and just a matter of surrendering and letting God have his way in his heart and life. So you pray with him and for him on that matter. And I would like to set the record straight. I think he indicated that he does not want to preach. I do want to preach. I can't think of anything else that I'd rather do. I do want to preach, even though my wife has told me several times today, you know, you could get somebody else to fill in for you, and I realize that there are capable folks that could do that, but as long as I'm able, as long as I can stand, as long as God gives me breath, as long as I am able to fulfill my calling, then I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I appreciate the prayers on our behalf, and I look forward to preaching here for the next few moments. I'm glad to see you back in the Lord's house tonight to hear what God has for you and to support your preacher. That encourages my heart as well. It's good to see you, Jesse, sitting there with your grandma. It's good to see Brother Miss Gentry here in the service with us tonight. That does my heart good as well. And so many others here with us. We're going to look in the Word of God here tonight for a few moments as we have been considering the life of David. And I want you to see a wonderful truth that God reveals to those who follow him in faith. It actually goes along, Brother Scott, with our theme tonight. Where he leads me, I will follow. In 1 Samuel 17, we've seen that David dedicates himself to God, and he presents himself to be ready to be used of the Lord for a particular purpose. You know that in this chapter of the Word of God is recorded the contest between David and the giant Goliath. And if you've ever wondered why things like this are in the Bible, I believe it is to show us that faith in God takes us into the great conflicts of life, but the Lord promises to see us through those things.
Amen.
And that's the wonderful truth.
Yep.
that we're going to be privileged to see here tonight. And so as we look in the latter verses of chapter number 17 here of first, let me back up and say that again. As we look in the latter verses of chapter number 17 here in 1 Samuel, beginning at verse number 50, I want you to follow along with us where the Bible says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to," whatever you say that is, "Shoreham, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.' And the king said, 'Inquire thou whose son the stripling is.' And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son art thou, thou young man?' And David answered, 'I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite.'" I want you to see something here in this portion of Scripture that I saw that I think is interesting. As we meditate upon the Word of God, really anybody, not just preachers are privileged to this, but any child of God is able to see this as we meditate upon a passage of Scripture, really even a verse of Scripture. If you'll take the time to just look at it and repeatedly mull it over in your mind until the Lord and His Holy Spirit reveals something to you and shows you something that He desires for you to see. And it's interesting to me that at any given time He will reveal to us things that sometimes we don't obviously see, or He reserves for us to see at only specific times. There are times when we read a certain verse or a certain passage of Scripture and immediately something will leap off the page at us and we'll say, "I've seen that before and I understand the principle and I appreciate that great truth or that promise that God is revealing to me one more time." But then there are times when we read something and it's not meant for us to have at that particular time, and it's reserved for future use. And then God brings us to that point and we read it, and then it is illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and then and only then we see it. And this is one of those times where God, I believe, did that for me, and I hope that He'll give us the grace to be able to do that for you tonight. The Bible says here in verse number 57, and I'd like to call your attention to that verse, two words that may seem insignificant at first glance, but to me have some special meaning. I want you to note the words there in that verse where the Bible says that David returned. David returned. I'd like to preach for a few moments on that particular thought. I'm pretty sure that if we had been part of the army of Israel in that day, and we had seen David going down to face the giant Goliath, that we would have said something like, "There's no way that he can ever win, and that's the last time we'll ever see that little guy. He's not going to return. He'll never make it out alive. It can't be done. I appreciate his fervor. I appreciate his passion. I appreciate his willingness to go on our behalf, but he will not make it out alive. But the Bible says in verse number 57 that David returned. He did come back. He did make it out alive. He did accomplish what God had sent him to do. May I remind you of something that is revealed to us in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I think we forget that way more than we should. I think that we are so defeated in this day and time as Christians that truth is not at the forefront of our mind as it should be. I think that we live with the mentality that we're not going to make it out of this thing, that we're not going to survive, that we're defeated before we ever begin, that we have the philosophy of the Israeli army that we have no champion on our side. But David did return. We forget that we can do great things for God. Amen. David didn't forget that. He marched against that giant that day, and the Bible says that he returned. In other words, the Lord delivered David. Do you remember that David said that very thing in verses 45 and 46? We looked at that last week, I think, but look back there one more time. The Bible says, Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. David knew that the Lord would deliver him. He had stated beforehand, before the task was ever accomplished, that the Lord would deliver him. When the battle was over, David came carrying the head of Goliath right into the presence of King Saul. Saul asked the question of David. He said, Whose son are you? To me, that's interesting. Because if you'll recall, David had already been in the king's court. David had already appeared before Saul. He had been invited to play his harp, and he had stood before Saul to be fitted with the king's armor with the intent of doing battle against the Philistine giant. Maybe he had forgotten little David. But Saul had made a promise that anyone who had killed the giant would be rewarded. Part of the reward was that his father's house would be free in Israel. I believe that promise included, at least in part, that there would be no tax, there would be no lien against the household of the man who was able to bring victory on behalf of the army of Israel, who was able to defeat that giant. There were certain privileges that would go to the family of the man who would do battle and defeat that giant. Part of the reward was that the father's household would be free in Israel. The other part of the reward is that the testimony of the Lord would be honored, that He does deliver His people, that He does bring them through, that He does deliver them. There is a beautiful promise found in Philippians 1 and verse number 6 that I'd also like to remind you of. The Bible says, Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When the Bible says here in verse 57 that David returned, it simply means that the Lord delivered David. Amen. Most folks that day never dreamed that David would come out of that valley alive. Most folks dreaded that he was going down to face Goliath. His brothers were there as part of the army of Israel. And I dare say that they were probably contemplating making funeral arrangements for their beloved brother. They were probably wondering how they were going to inform their daddy about the news that David had actually went down into the valley to face the giant Goliath. How were they going to break the news to him? How were they going to comfort him in his hour of bereavement? Thank God that the Lord delivered David, that he spared him, and that David was able to return. But there's something else that I see in that expression about David returning. Because he returned, the land was blessed. The land was blessed. The people were blessed. We learn from this story that what we do or refuse to do has an effect on other people. Look back at verse 46 and verse 47. In the last part of verse 46, we see that David said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Because David returned, the land was blessed. Look in verse 52. The Bible says, "And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron." The children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, it says in verse 53, and they spoiled their tents. The land was blessed. They prospered. David knew that what he did had a direct effect on all of Israel. The land was blessed and the people were rewarded. They were encouraged by his faith in God. Many times you and I don't realize this. Many times we think that we're just living our life unto the Lord and it's a private matter between us and him. But that's not true at all. What we do has an effect upon other people. Yeah. Most of the time we magnify evil by talking about the bad things that people have done, and we see it have an adverse effect on others. Whenever a brother, whenever a sister falls into sin, whenever they stray from the Lord, we can't wait to reveal that to someone else, and then we stand back and watch the fallout effect from that. We wonder how many people are going to be hurt over that. I recently heard something very tragic about a pastor who had been in the ministry for years, and he had been carrying on with a woman in the church for 10 years, and nobody had picked up on it. Nobody knew about it until just recently, and it literally tore a church apart. And you don't realize until it is exposed how it is going to affect other people. Yeah. If we can cause that much harm by evil, just think how much good we can cause by doing right and by obeying God. Yes. What if we were willing to just go where he leads us? Amen. If we were willing to just trust and obey, if we were willing to just follow where he leads us. Husbands could be a great help to their wives in this matter. And wives could be a great help to their husbands. Parents could be a great help to their children. And children could be a great help to their parents. Simply by the way that we choose to live with our faith in God. The land was blessed, the Bible says here, when David returned. David, in verse number 50, the Bible says he prevailed. And David could have marched out of that valley with the head of that giant in his hand and went in a different direction, away from Israel. He could have went wherever he wanted to go. He could have went on to something entirely different. He could have decided, hey, I've done my duty and I'm headed in a different direction. But the Bible says in verse 57 that he returned. He did the right thing. And as a result, the land was blessed and the people were rewarded. There's something to be said for just staying faithful, for just doing the right thing, for just sticking to it, for just abiding by the stuff. You may not be privileged to see great victories every day of your Christian life. They may be sporadic. They may come here and there. They may be spread out with years in between. But if you'll just stay faithful to God, it will have a positive effect on other people.
Amen?
Amen? Do you believe that? If evil will affect people in a negative way, then right will affect people in a positive way.
Amen.
The land was blessed when David returned with the head of the giant in his hand. They were people who had lost all courage. You stop and think about it. They had heard that giant day after day defy them. They had no hope. They believed they were in some pitiful bondage that they could never escape. But as a result of one man's deed, it aroused the nation to believe in God again. It challenged them to put their faith in the Lord. By the way we live, we can change an environment. We can affect people for God. It may be in your home. It may be at your workplace. It may be on your block. It may be in your community. I was so thrilled to hear one lady say, "The Lord has laid a neighborhood on my heart, a set of apartments on my heart, and I want to knock on the doors there. I want some ladies to go with me." That's encouraging. People who know the Lord Jesus need to live so that others can see Christ in them. We see here that David said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Why are we still here? What did God leave us here for after He saved us? So that all the earth may know that there is a God.
Yes.
That our light may shine and that people may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
The Lord delivered David and the land was blessed because David put his faith in God. Here's the third thing I see about David's return. The life of David was changed forever. It was changed forever. He was never going to be the same. David's life was changed. The day before his battle with Goliath, he was out there singing to his father's sheep. Now the nation of Israel is singing about him. Nobody knew who he was the day before. But now he is the national hero. Greater things were going to be expected from David, and rightly so. He had accomplished a great thing on behalf of Israel. God raises up people, and He gives them visibility. He expects us to live accountable lives before others. He puts people in positions for a purpose. But this is not how his life was changed. That's not how I'm thinking about this thing. The way I'm thinking about his life being changed is that God did something for David that he could never, ever forget. You stop and think about it. As long as he lived, he would remember that God delivered him from Goliath, the giant. Yes, he had delivered him from a lion and a bear. But this was a giant who had defied the armies of Israel. He would never ever forget that. It was something that would be forever etched in his memory. God proved to him that day in that valley that he is real, that he could come through for him. I believe that almost everybody sitting here in this room has had an experience of some kind, similar to that of David. Oh, maybe you haven't faced a 10-foot giant like Goliath. But in the hour of trial, down in a valley of some sort, God has delivered you. And in that instant, many of us have said to God, in those times, something like this: "Lord, I promise to you that from this day forward, I'm yours. I promise that I'll live my life for you. I promise that I'll be your person. I promise that I'll be different. I'll never, ever be the same. I'll be faithful to you. I'll be true to you. I'll never break your heart again, Lord. Maybe for you it was from a hospital bed that you said words like that. Maybe it was in the process of a family breakup that you said similar words. Maybe it was some other moment of need. Maybe you had been given the word that your job was ending and there was no hope or possibility of a similar job, and it looked like you were going to have to change careers. And you wondered what you were going to do. And God came through. And in that instant, you praised God. God changed your life.
Amen.
We made promises, but sad to say, promises that many of us haven't made good on. David was a man who was changed forever. That's why the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Even when he sinned, we're going to see that he returned unto the Lord. He didn't continue on in his sin. I believe the Lord may have someone here consider tonight the need to return unto the Lord. Maybe we need to say, Lord, the same zeal and love that I had for you when you delivered me is what I want again, what I desire to have again. The Bible says that David returned, just two simple little words. But I want to ask you a question. Will you return like David did?